Thank God for missionaries that'll go. Thank God for missions here at home. Thank God we're a mission-minded church. Thank God for His blessings on us. If you have your Bible this morning, be found in the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. We'll look at a story about two sisters and a brother this morning and bring out some truths in the Word of God. Found in the book of John, chapter number 11. If we begin reading in verse number 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, he whom Thou lovest is sick." I want to say this right now. I want to thank God for people that can get in touch with Jesus. You see, you find here two sisters that had a brother that had an issue. And let me tell you what they did. They did exactly what we should be doing. They went and found Jesus. You see, today we think the internet has all the answers. And I'll tell you a funny story before we get started this morning. We had some storms blow up in our around the area I live in Roanoke about 2 weeks ago. And my son, you know what he did? He went on Google and he said, "How long will these storms last in Roanoke?" He thinks the internet has all the answers. Let me tell you, the internet doesn't have all the answers. You see, let me tell you this. I was talking to Brother Dwayne yesterday. We was at a wedding, you know, and I got to thinking. I said, man wants to have facts. Man wants to have facts. Like, not this week, but the week before, I went to a town up in northeastern United States, and there's 40 colleges within that town. And let me tell you what. We live in a day where man thinks they're smarter than God is. And they don't need God because they're smarter. They can outdo Him. But let me tell you. But God didn't need any help. We don't have to prop Him up. You don't have to sit Him down. Let me tell you, He's not in heaven on a wheelchair. He's not got a cane. Let me tell you, He's ruling and reigning as it pleased Him. But thank God there was two sisters in this story that knew where Jesus was. They knew where to send out the gospel. They knew to go tell Jesus that their brother was sick. Not only that, thank God for brothers and sisters that can pray, but thank people in the house of God that they can pray. There's been times that I've been down and out, and there's been people pray for me, and by their prayers, God has answered them and helped me down life's way. Thank God for that. In verse number 4, it says, "When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Verse 6, "When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick," He did something unusual. It said this, "He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was." I entitled the Sunday school lesson this morning, "When Jesus Stands Still." When Jesus stands still. Now we see two sisters here who had an issue. Their brother Lazarus lay sick. Lazarus, we know the Bible said that He loved Lazarus. We know that Jesus loved Mary and Martha. We know Jesus would have done anything for those three kids. We know they were church-going folks. We knew Jesus had been to their place and they had made Him an habitation and Jesus felt welcome at their house. But when they called for Jesus, guess what He did? We would have thought if we would have had to fill out the rest of the Bible, we'd have said, immediately Jesus went. But guess what He didn't do? He didn't go. When Jesus stands still. And I began reading. I never had seen this in the story. If you look over in verse 20 right quick, I want you to see this. Look what Mary did. We know Mary is a worshiper of God. We know she's a servant of God. We know that she's doing all that she knows what to do. And we know Jesus, the story went over to the house. He went to the house where Mary and Martha was. But it said this in verse 20. It said, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him." But guess what Mary did? But Mary sat still in the house. See, because Jesus stood still, guess what Mary was going to do now when He came to the house? She sat still. You see, I think a lot of times in our churches, we get disappointments, we get things that we think Jesus should do in our time, and then we become still. You see, Jesus stood still, then Mary stood still. Because Mary didn't think Jesus did exactly what she thought He was supposed to do. How many of you can have a witness there? You see, Mary was in a time of emergency in her life. and she needed Jesus to do something specifically and special at this point of time. And guess what Jesus didn't do? He didn't go. And if I would have had to finish out the rest of the Bible and the rest of this passage, when they called for him in verse number 6, when it said, therefore, I would have said, immediately he went. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't go. We know what to do when Jesus does come. I've heard a lot of people stand up and testify, and they say, praise God, Jesus came, and he answered my prayer, and he did this in my situation. And we know what to do when he does show up. But do we know what to do when he don't show up? You see, a lot of times we expect God to just do exactly what we tell him to do. Man, we got this thing planned out, and if you'll just do this for me here, and then if you'll wait about 2 more days and do this right here, and if you'll go to my brother in about 5 days, it'll be all right. And then in a couple of weeks, everything will have itself worked out. But guess what Jesus did not do? He did not go. And the Bible said he stood still. He abode in the same place still for 2 days. And no doubt, you had two sisters here that was looking for Jesus to show up and to show out and do great and miraculous things. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't show up. He stood still. I got 4 quick things I want you to see in this story. But before I do, I want to say this. In Psalm 34 and 18, the Bible said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Let me tell you, Jesus is always near. Let me tell you this. Just because you don't feel Jesus, don't mean he ain't there. And if you look in this story, in verse number 4, it says, and when Jesus heard that, and just don't think because he didn't answer your prayer exactly when you said it, that he didn't hear it. You see, the devil would love to come and whisper in your ear that Jesus never heard your prayer. I've had him do that to me. I can get down and pray, and I think that my prayer is not lifting up off the floor. And I think, well, Jesus didn't hear my prayer. No doubt in this story, Mary and Martha, they had prayed, and they did all they knew what to do. They was worshipers of God. Mary was one of the, if you're reading the story, and we'll get into this later, she was one that bowed on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with his hair. We knew Mary knew Jesus. We knew Martha knew Jesus. She knew how to serve Jesus. She knew everything what she knew what to do. But guess what? He didn't run exactly into her life and answer their prayer and immediately do a work. So what do you do when Jesus stands still? We know in Romans 8 and 28, it says we know that all things work together for good, that they love God and are called according to His purpose. And that's what a lot of times we stand on that verse. But let me tell you, it's easier for me to tell you that verse than it is for me to show you that verse. But see, when you're going through a trial, it's easy for me to come up and quote that verse to you. When the problem's at your house. And when that problem's out in a different country. And when that problem's out in a different city. And that problem's out in a different state. It's easy for me to quote that verse and say, everything's going to work itself out for the glory of God to them that are called according to His purpose. It's easy for me to tell you that. But let me tell you when it ain't easy. When it comes back to my house. And I ain't heard nothing from Jesus. And I've sent for Him. And I've read my Bible. And I've got down on my knees and prayed. And I sought the Father's face for everything I knew what to do. And I went to my brother. I went to my sister and told him what was going on. And he didn't show up. That's when it becomes hard. You say, have you had that happen to you? I sure have. And hopefully I can get some witnesses here in the house this morning and say, that's happened to me, so I won't be alone in this thing. Let me tell you, these two sisters, if not, I'll go to the Bible. I know Mary and Martha was all alone in their situation. I know that Jesus didn't come exactly when they thought He would or He should come. He said He abode still 2 days in the same place. I want to bring out 4 things. And found here in this chapter, I want to say this before I do. He delayed because he wanted to show greater love. And just because he delays don't mean he don't care. You see, a lot of times we get in our mind, and the devil will love to get in your mind this morning and say he don't care. You see, if they thought, Mary and Martha thought, if they called him out and said, Lord, you know whom thou lovest is sick, Lazarus, just come on down here and heal him. You can do it. And they had all the faith. And they knew that God could do those miraculous things. But let me tell you, He did it because He wanted to show greater love. You see, a lot of times, where would we be today if God answered every prayer that we ever prayed? And said, God, just do it right now. And sometimes He does that. I've seen God work in that way. And He's answered prayers and He's done it immediately. When I got saved and I called on His name, guess what? I immediately got saved. It wasn't a progression. It was right then. It was right there. When I got up, I was in heaven, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. My name was written down. It was an immediate thing. But as you grow in Christ and you grow up in the Lord, let me tell you, there's going to be things that are going to be delayed. And it's all right to be delayed. It's not that He don't care. You see, a lot of people will love to say, you're not in the will of God if you can't pray and Jesus come right then when you pray. Let me tell you, I've had more things that was delayed than it was immediate in my own life. And there's things I've been praying for years that are still delayed. But that doesn't mean He don't care. Some of you are praying for your family members to get saved. And just because He delayed don't mean He don't care. A lot of you are praying for things in your own life and only what you know. You see, you know more about you than anybody else. You see, there's things about me that my wife don't know. There's things about her that I don't know. There's thoughts that I have. There's thoughts that she has. There's thoughts that you have that I don't know, but I tell you who knows. And that's Jesus. And I know He cares. And the devil will love to tell you that he don't care this morning, but let me tell you, he does. He cares for his people, and just because he delays don't mean he don't care, because he does. You'll notice that he said in verse 4 that he heard that. He heard it. And when you pray, don't think you don't hear what you've got to pray. He listens when nobody else will listen. You see, a lot of people will turn you off. See, the disciples, when little kids come up to Jesus and he said, the disciples tried to push him away, the little children. He said, don't push him away. Let him come. He said, he'll listen when nobody else will listen. I don't want to bring out four or five things here this morning, you know, to try to help us when Jesus stands still. You see, a lot of times in our life, you come to church and you come through the motions, but in your own life and in reality, He's standing still. I'm glad we had two people here in the Bible that we can go read about that actually had a real problem. You see, in church life, everything's always wonderful, and it's always good, and we've been taught that. But let me tell you, things ain't always wonderful, and things ain't always good, because we find here that Mary and Martha had a problem. And you know what? Anybody that come to them, you couldn't deny what their problem that they was having. They knew that Lazarus was sick, and he was at the point of death, and they knew that their only hope was Jesus, and they knew who to go get. What do you do when Jesus stands still? I want to say, first of all, Jesus is more interested in sacrificial goings than He is relevant dangers. You say, what do you mean by that? If you look in this story, we find the setting of this story. If you look down in verse 7, this is what it says. It says, then after that, saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You see, Jesus would rather have a sacrificial going than to think of the relevant danger He's going to have to go to get back to where Mary and Martha is. You see, the Jews, and you find in John chapter number 10, that great shepherd book of the Bible, He said this, He said, I and my Father are one. And because He said that, the Jews sought to stone Him. And He knew that to go back where Mary and Martha was, He was going to have to take the foot and go right back through Judea to get to where Mary and Martha was. You see, he knew all about sacrificial going. You see, He laid down His life for the sheep. The last time we was here, we read about Psalm chapter 23. The shepherd always knows about the sheep. Let me tell you, God, He'll always go back to where you are and your problem. You see, a lot of times we think He can't get to us and He'll never make it in time. But let me tell you, He'll sacrifice His own life to get to where you are. You see, He was got to turn back right through these Jews that was out there ready to stone Him to get back to where Mary and Martha was. Sacrificial going. You'll see He had a decision. He turned back to the danger. I wrote this down. I said, danger in the will of God is safer than a refuge or a safety without Him. I'd rather be in danger and be in the will of God than be out in the luxuries of this world and be out of His will and think that God would kill me because I was out of His will. You see, the danger we speak about that He knew here, Jesus knew where to take His disciples. He knew where to guide His disciples. He knew where to guide His sheep that would be safe. Even though the Jews sought to stone Him, sacrificial goings. You see, Jesus would take time out of His own life to go help somebody. You see, I thought about this the other day. I was in Boston the week before, and hardly ever we go to our front door. I opened my front door, and I found this. There was a tract in my front door. It's from a Jehovah's Witness. And the Lord smote my heart. He said this. And it said they was having some kind of meeting in Columbus, Georgia. A And then God smote my heart. You know what he said? He said, they'll drive all the way to your house from Columbus, Georgia, and invite you to a meeting. And you got people all around you, and you won't go hand them a tract. It smote my heart because of that. And he gave me this story, and he said, Jesus would go through every danger. He'd go through every trial. He'd go through every difficulty to get one more soul. Get one more soul. Mission-minded. The sacrificial going. He said this in his disciples. Let me tell you what his disciples said. His disciples didn't say, well, we'll just go with Jesus and follow him. We know the Jews are going to assault the stone thee. We don't want to follow him anymore. You see, Jesus is going to lead them right back through there. And he knew the Jews was laying a wait to stone him. You know, so we find that Jesus will do sacrificial. He'll go sacrificially before his disciples. His disciples said in verse 8, he says, the Jews have laid stalk to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They said, why are you going back? Why are you going back? You see, just because the disciples, they don't know all about the problem. Jesus knows all about the problem. We love to tell people to turn back, and we not know the whole problem. You see, Jesus knew the whole problem. He knew where they was going to turn back. He knew the disciples was. Not only you'll see it sacrificial goings than relevant dangers, he's more interested in this, spiritual growth than relieving disappointments. You see, a lot of times we get disappointed in this thing. And just think about Mary and Martha in the story. When Jesus didn't come exactly when they thought he should, they got disappointed. And I can say in this thing, in serving Christ, I've been saved right now for 15 years, a little over 15 years, that I've had disappointments in this thing. But let me tell you what. You know the reason I was disappointed is because I couldn't see the ending. We live in a day where everybody wants to know the ending before they see the beginning. But let me tell you, Jesus told them, he said, we're going to go back. And you know why? Because of spiritual growth. You see, spiritual growth is where we're at. The reason you come to Sunday school is for spiritual growth. There's been teachers God has appointed under here. You know, not saying I'm a good teacher or anything like that. But there's been teachers I've sat under that has taught me the Word of God and made me able to grow spiritually. God has sent me a pastor. He sent me assistant pastor. He sent me Brother Randy. He sent me Brother Tim. He used to teach me up in this upper room. And he sent me people aside. And he's got teachers set aside for spiritual growth. You see, if God would have went in there and healed, Jesus would have went in there and healed Lazarus right off, you know what? There would have been no spiritual growth for Mary and Martha or Lazarus. You see, God delayed his time so they could grow spiritually. Not only that, you'll see the problem. You see, Lazarus was sick. You'll see this. You'll see the progression. In verse number 1, it said Lazarus was sick. In verse number 2, it says Lazarus was sick. In verse number 3, guess what it said? Lazarus was sick. In verse number 4, it says Lazarus was sick. In verse number 6, it said Lazarus was sick. But then you'll see what his disciples said. In verse number 11, he sleepeth. Verse number 12, he sleepeth. Verse number 13, he sleepeth. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Verse 14, he said he was dead. Let me tell you this. Never belittle anybody's problem because you don't know the progression of it. You see, the disciples wouldn't turn back because they didn't know where this was going to progress. When Jesus told them their friend Lazarus sleepeth, they said, well, he doeth good. And if we was there with the disciples, you know what he said? We just said, we just go back. You know, he sleepeth, he doeth good. You know, and we don't know what somebody's real problem is or real issue is. We're easy to turn back on that. Well, we must look to Jesus because he knows the actual issue. He knows the root of the problem. He knows exactly what it was. And before all of that, Jesus had to come out and just say it plainly. Lazarus is dead. It was a progression of the problem. There's been times in my own life that I didn't know what was going to happen, didn't know what to do. And my problem began to progress. And it began to become a snowball. And before it got to the end, it was so big I couldn't handle it. Here the two sisters was going to find their problem was getting bigger. And they had sent for Jesus. The two sisters knew what the problem was. They knew Lazarus was at the point of death. And they had sent for him. And he abode still 2 days. He stood still because he's more interested in our spiritual growth than relieving our disappointments. You see, if God always came to our rescue, where would we be? We'd be babes in Christ. You see, Paul spoke of a church there in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He said he said there was a carnal church. And he said, I had to speak with you as spiritual babes, and you couldn't be fed but with milk. You couldn't be fed of the meat of the Word. You know why? Because they didn't have any spiritual growth in them. I'll give you an example of that. There was a guy that came up to him, a pastor of a church, you know, and I wouldn't dare name the name. They had an issue going on in the church. And he said, I'm going to forgive this lady for what she's done. And it was a big thing. I said, you may be able to forgive them, but you'll find out how mature the people in your church are if they can forgive them. You see, there's things that the more mature you get in the Lord, that you'll be able to forgive people for that other people cannot. You see, and then I said, if you can forgive them, I said, you pray for the rest of your church, because you know what's going to happen? You may be able to forgive them, but they may not be able to. Spiritual growth, progression. Not only that, you'll see the people. You'll see it was Mary and Martha. We know Martha was a lady that served God with all her heart. We know Mary was a worshiper of God. If you'll flip over to the next chapter, and I'm glad that it said this, and even in this chapter, in verse number 2, it defines which Mary it is. It said it was that Mary that anointed the feet of Jesus. We find out which Mary, which Martha it is. And we know the people. They are very spiritual people. They're people that knew the Word of God. They're people that knew it. But let me tell you what, even those people had to grow. You see, you know why? Because we hadn't arrived yet. You see, it makes me very iffy when a man says, you know, I've arrived, or I'm better than somebody else, because I tell you what, I'm lower than the carpet on this floor this morning. And I tell you what, I got a lot of areas in my own life that need spiritual growth. You say, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep doing everything that Mary and Martha did in this story. I'm going to go to Jesus about it. And when He stands still, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on. You see, when He stood still, that didn't hinder them from sending to Him. That didn't mean He wasn't coming. He just delayed His coming. And you may be here and you say, well, I don't see any spiritual growth in my life. Let me tell you, just hang on. He may be growing you and you don't even know it. Let me tell you this, we need more spiritual growth than we do relieving our own disappointment. See, every time we was disappointed in Christ, He stepped in and moved that stuff right out of our way. Where would we be this morning? We wouldn't be nowhere. Let me tell you, God is more interested in our spiritual growth than relieving our disappointment. Thirdly, He's more interested in selfless grief than He is regarding His own dignity. What did Jesus do in this story? We know He went into the town where Mary and Martha. He never did make it to the house, as far as I can tell in the Bible. He said Martha came out to meet Him. She said this. Like I said, she was disappointed when He got to the house. She said, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Let me tell you what she was. She had an attitude. Anybody ever had an attitude? You wasn't just so happy with what Jesus was doing. Let me tell you what she did. And rightly so. You'd have thought Jesus would have sent, if He couldn't have been there His own self. Jesus was probably their pastor at that time. He was there with them. You know, so don't get so mad when your pastor don't show up. Jesus did not show up. He did not show up. Did not show up. A lot of times in our own life, let me tell you what He did. He had selfless grief. He didn't care about Himself. It said in John chapter number 11, verse number 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You know what He did? He cried. You say, well, I'm a man, I shouldn't cry. Let me tell you, Jesus did. And let me tell you, if you stay in this thing long enough, I'll tell you what it ended up doing. You may be the strongest man in the world. You may have a heart of stone. But I tell you what, if you stay in this thing long enough, Jesus will break your heart. And I'll tell you what will end up happening. There'll be a tear that'll slide down your face. And I'll tell you what you'll have to do in front of everybody. You have to wipe it and forget about your own dignity. You see, Jesus did. He said He wept with them. Let me tell you what David said in Psalms. If I can find it. Here it is. Psalm 56 and 8. This is what he said. Thou tellest me my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in the book? Let me tell you, the psalmist David cried. Jesus cried. Every man in this Bible has ever been through, a great man of God, I tell you what he did. He cried. I thank God for a pastor, when he preaches to me, he cries. You know why? It lets me know his heart. You know why a lot of people say, well, Jesus wept because of their unbelief. I don't think that it may be part of it, but I tell you what he wept because. He saw a sister with a broken heart. He saw their brother in the grave that was dead. He saw the Jews that was looking on him and said, behold how he loved them. Let me tell you, he had selfless grief. You see, Jesus, if anybody could have said, you know, I'll turn back, it would have been Jesus. His disciples went off and left him. Peter went off and left him. Jesus had a reason not to cry, didn't he? And Jesus himself could have become hard-hearted. And he could have become complacent. And he could have been cold-hearted. But let me tell you what he did. He wept. He wept because of two sisters that were broken. Had a broken and a contrite spirit. See, tears are a language that God understands. See, when you're in this thing, I tell you what will happen. There'll be people that God will place in your life and it'll hurt you as much as it's hurting them. There's been people in this church that God has put in here, and as they hurt, you know what it did me? It caused me to hurt. And there'll be people that God will put in your life besides your own family that he'll place you beside in the family of God that are hurting. And through their hurt, it'll hurt you. Jesus was understanding their hurt. And he knew those tears was a language. Not only that, you'll see the timing. You see, it was not only, you see, both still 2 days. And the Bible said Jesus didn't even show up for the funeral. He didn't show up for the graveside service. He wasn't there. He still hadn't made it. He came to the first. He wasn't there. He came to the second. He wasn't there. He came to the third. And he wasn't there. But on that fourth day, he laid in the grave. Mary said, by now he stinketh, Lord. Let me tell you, I'm glad we have a God that will get into the stink with us. Not only will he get into the stink, he'll go through the stones. You see, he went past the stones that the Jews had. And not only that, he got into the stink. Thank God we had a God that will bring us out of the muck and out of the mire of this world and set our feet upon a rock and establish our goings. You see, he had selfless grief instead of regarding his own dignity. You see, Jesus had a reason. He was a king, wasn't he? He had a reason not to even be there. He said, I'm the king. Let me tell you, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me tell you what he was. He was God incarnate in the flesh. What does that mean? God in the flesh. When anybody says incarnate, just mean it as this. It's God manifested in the flesh. You see, Jesus left the portals of heaven beside his heavenly Father and came down to dwell amongst men. In the book of Hebrews said he was able to be a succor to them that are tempted. What does that mean? He's able to be of aid. He's able to be a relief. And whatever you're going through this morning, guess what he's able to do? He's able to give you aid. He's able to give you relief. The Bible calls him over in 1 John. He's an advocate. He's our paracletos. He's one called alongside to help us in time of need. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And Mary and Martha didn't know exactly what God was going to do because he was going to do something special only for them that he could only do. You see, Jesus, he had raised a couple of people from the dead before this. He had raised, you know, Jairus' daughter, which she hadn't been in the grave 4 days, but he was fixing to do something special because he loved them so much, but they couldn't understand. You may be here this morning, and God's going to work something special in your life, but right now you feel delayed, but just hold on. He's working something for your good. He's working it out in his own time, and you may be on the fourth, and it may be something that's going to happen on the fifth, but just give him time because he'll work a miracle in his own time. He's more interested in selfless grief than his own dignity. Not only that, you'll see he's more interested in the Son's glorification than he is reproving his own doubters. Look down in verse number 4. It says, John chapter number 11, verse number 4, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let me tell you what, if Mary and Martha had been there that day and heard that word that he spoke, they probably wouldn't have been as in panic mode as they were. You see, just because you can't hear him speaking don't mean he's not speaking. Just because you can't hear him speaking doesn't mean he's not speaking. Mary and Martha was down the road. They was in a different town. Jesus was where he was. And he said, the sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. You see, he's interested in the Son's glorification. You see, why do we go through things? For the Son's glorification. You see, the things that he's going to bring out in you, he's magnifying himself. And by magnifying himself, he's magnifying the Father, which is in heaven. And He's wanting us to give Him all the glory. You see, God will share His love with you. He'll share His joy with you. He'll share His peace with you. He'll share His rest with you. But let me tell you what He won't share with you. He'll never share His glory with you. You see, He wants all the glory. And you want me to tell you how you want to glory God? You glorify the Son. And if you're glorifying the Son, it's as good as you glorifying the Father. That's why some of these other religions aren't worth 15 cents, because they're not glorifying the Son. You see, you can't glorify God without glorifying the Son. That's why the Jews sought to stone Him, because He said, "I and my Father are one," and they couldn't figure that out. And that made them mad, because they couldn't figure that out. Let me tell you, He's interested in the Son's glorification rather than reproving His doubters. You see, He could have went back and said, "I can't believe y'all don't believe on me." He could have went to the Jews and said, "I can't believe you don't believe on me. I'm fixing to raise this Lazarus from the dead, and you won't even believe on me." And he could have just walked away right there and said, "I'm done." Let me tell you, He's more interested in the Son's glorification, because by doing that, He can glorify the Father, which is in heaven. It says this in John chapter number 13, verse number 31. It says, "Therefore, when He has gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him.'" It says this in verse number 32. It said, "If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway glorify Him." He's saying this in our terms. You're glorifying me, guess what? You're glorifying the Father. Let me tell you what you want to do this morning. You want to glorify God, just glorify the Son. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Let me tell you, church, if you want to see people get saved, let me tell you what you do. You glorify the Son, and by that the Father is glorified. And I tell you what He'll do, He'll draw all men into here. You see, what my pastor says, right? If you build a fire, they'll come to watch it burn. I'll give you a funny story right here. Me and my brother, we bought some fireworks one time. Which is never a good idea for me and him. Anyway, we shot what they call a little birdie. And we set that thing off. We saved up our allowance money and got it. And we shot that thing off. And out in the field beside our parents' house was a kudzu field. And we watched it for about 10 minutes. And we said, "Didn't catch nothing on fire." And went in the house. We come back out of the house. There was a fire that had raised up. We went out there with our brooms and we did all we could do, and we couldn't put it out. But by the time that thing got done, it done burned off about 50 acres, and was so high it was over the power lines, trying to cross the road. And all we could do was stand on the other side of the road and beat it out. We had to call the Forestry Commission in, and they dug us a fire ditch, all the way around that place, to put that fire out. Let me tell you what, it seemed like everybody in the whole county came by that day. They came to watch it burn. And they was laughing at us, you know, and we could do but laugh with them, except for Mom and Daddy didn't think it was too funny. They didn't think it was funny at all, but let me tell you what they did. They came to watch it burn. That whole field burn up. I mean, it was probably a good thing that it did burn up. Let me tell you what, all the people, it seemed like all of Randolph County had come by that road to watch that burn. They had heard of that fire. Let me tell you what we need down here at Liberty Baptist Church. We need a fire. You see, if you build a fire, they'll come to watch it burn. You see, you may not be able to show them up, shut them up, but you'll be able to show them up, because we serve a gospel that's real. And let me tell you what it does. It magnifies the Son. And He's more interested in the Son's glorification than He is reproving His doubters. And I'll close this last thing. He's more interested in the sake of the gospel than He is His own believing, than removing our own difficulties. You see, this thing goes deep. You know, all know the story. Look over in John chapter number 11. We know He just has, in verse number 43, He called Lazarus out of the grave. And He said, "Lazarus, come forth." It says in verse 44, it said, "And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Then it says this in verse number 45, talking about the sake of the gospel. It says this, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him." You see, the sake of the gospel always brings belief. See, when He raised Lazarus up from the dead, and Mary and Martha, He stood still. They didn't know that He was doing it for the gospel's sake. And He said that many of them believed on Him. He said in verse 46, "But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told what things Jesus had done." Verse 47, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles.'" He said this in verse number 48. It said, "If we left them thus alone, all men will believe on Him." and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Let me tell you what it was doing. It was for the sake of the gospel. You say a lot of times, let me say this. Each trial that we go through makes us more valuable unto Him. Each thing that you go through makes you more valuable. You know why? Because you're glorifying the Son. And by glorifying the Son, you're glorifying the Father. And there's people watching you each and every day to see how you're going to do. And you want me to tell you what it's doing? The sake of the gospel is going out. Little things that you're saying, little things that God's twisting you, each snare, each snag that He's putting you through, guess what it's doing? It's spreading the gospel. You see, there's people all around you, and He's opening doors. And you ought to pray that God will open doors where you work at. You know why? Because little snags that bring in your life is spreading that gospel. And for the gospel's sake, it's going out. It's going out each and every day. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 15 says that we may grow up into Him in all things. Let me tell you what Christ is doing. He's making you more like Him each and every day. And each and every day, every trial, every little thing that you're going through is making you more valuable to Him. And I remember the story of Job. And I'll close with these verses. Job 13 and 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. We know the story of Job. He lost his cattle. He lost his family. His wife said, curse God and die. He lost everything he had. Let me tell you what. I heard a man preach this not long ago. He was at the Preacher's Fellowship up in Hartsville, Alabama. He preached about worship. He said, we know a lot about praise. This is what he said. He said, we know a lot about praise, but we know very little about worship. And I began to think on that. You see, Mary, in this story, it had been easy for her to praise God if He'd have came right on time. It had been real easy for her. If He'd immediately had went instead of standing still, it had been easy for Mary to praise God and raise her hand and say, thank God Jesus came. A lot of us were the same way. God gave us a job. We said, thank you, God, for that job. God gave us a house. We said, thank you, Lord. We'll offer you a little praise. But let me tell you what worship is. Worship is when He don't give you that house. Worship is when He don't give you that job. Worship is when He don't raise your Lazarus from the dead. You can still worship Him. You see, Mary was going to have it was going to intensify her worship because God didn't come immediately. You remember what I said at the beginning? It's for greater love. You see, and by God showing His love, Mary was able to show her love back to Jesus in John chapter number 12. Remember what she had done? She had saved that ointment for His burial. And she said she came in, it was very costly, and we know Judas was there, and he reprimanded Mary for doing it because it was a costly ointment. He said that should have been sold and given to the poor. Let me tell you what she did. She saved it for Him. She broke that bottle open, spread that perfume out, and that worship broke out. You know why? Because Jesus abode still. See, sometimes Jesus is abiding still in your own life. You know why? It's going to produce greater worship. You see, if He'd have come immediately, you may be offering Him a little praise. Say, thank you, God, for what you're doing. Let me tell you what, when He abides still and what you was going through is dead and it's beginning to stink, and then He comes by and He resurrects it up. And He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. When He raises that thing back up, let me tell you what it does. It offers a greater opportunity of worship. It lets you, through the love that He has expressed to you, express that love back to Him. See, there's things that if God would answer for me right on time, I would have never been able to. All I'd been able to do is say, thank you, God, and offer Him a little praise. But let me tell you what, when He waits a little bit, and that thing begins to magnify, and then He moves on your behalf, and He shows you that ending, let me tell you what you can do. You can offer that worship and begin to praise Him and worship Him in a different attitude, in a different atmosphere that God lets you raise up to Him and express it to Him that only that waiting would do for you. When Jesus stands still, I want to say this in closing. He listens when no one else will listen. He speaks what nobody else can speak. He loves what nobody else can love. But He raises up only what He can raise. You see, Lazarus was dead, and there was no help for him. His sisters knew where he was. And let me say this in closing. Just because Jesus abode still, when He shows up, you don't want to abide still. You see, Mary sat still in the house, and she sold. She was disappointed, and she showed that to Jesus. She said she sat still in the house when He was there on the scene. If you'll read on down that story, look down in verse number 28. There was an announcement that was made. It said this. And when she had so said, she went her way, talking about Martha, Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master has come. He calleth for thee." See, Jesus was calling for her. And then guess what old Mary did? When she knew the old Master was calling for her, said she arose and went quickly. Thank God we're able to worship Him and express that love because He stood still. You see, the greater love, He'll be able, that we would never be able to express ourselves in worship if He had done everything immediately. But when He stands still and He works that thing out for you and He raises up that which was dead, you're able to give Him another level of worship and express that to Him. Thank you for your attention this morning.